You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
What? Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Today, we're laughing a bit. We've got a lot to talk about, but at the same time...
We don't know what it
took. We always don't know. We create new information as we go. In an effort to understand better about relationships and compatibility of people... An understanding of what works and what doesn't. Long term, we've read and researched a couple of studies that we want to share with you. I think there's some interesting information in here, some exciting things to learn.
Yeah, perhaps, definitely interesting.
Perhaps prevent some things or allow us to investigate different areas to improve our current or future relationships.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you have today, Jim?
So what do we have? So let's start off with, I have a paper that was presented in Psychology Today by Mark Travers, who writes on the 24 dimensions of compatibility in long-term couples. And it has to do with a study that they did with a newly published study on how people felt the different aspects, the different dimensions of what made their relationships compatible. So they looked at these 24 different, I guess they started with a big list and they whittled it down to 24. So they wanted to look at what compatibility is needed to hold a relationship together long term. So that there were a lot of things that were deemed similar mm-hmm. in different areas. Like these things needed to be similar in order for long term relationship.
Okay, what is this area?
Well, before we get to that, they wanted to dispel the myth of opposites attract. And there's a huge held belief, opposites attract.
Yeah.
I don't know why. North and south magnets, electrons, protons, something up in the air, the ground, right? Falls, gravity.
Okay, maybe.
What else? Other things. Oh, like we notice things that are different than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so look at them.
Somebody passive, somebody aggressive, so balance each other, or somebody active, somebody.
I think people think that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we're taught that too, and I know we always go back to Disney and other things we grew up with.
The programs
of the poor person living
and
Beauty and the Beast.
The Beast.
Or the person who's cleaning a house and the prince.
Yeah.
It always turns out to be a prince. How come it's never the other way around? Like a poor boy walking the streets and begging for money and
this is
the princess.
In my country.
It happened here. So variability in relationships and differences in partners doesn't prevent long-term well-being. So the variability of these types of traits. But what they found is couples tend to be more similar than dissimilar on most traits. But what was most important in what these couples found to be similar and dissimilar was what mattered. In compatibility. So what the study was there were 274 Italian adults. Mm-hmm. So we have to take in a little bit of cultural consideration, mm-hmm. right, into this study. It was an online survey where they were asked to rate 153 characteristics.
Wow.
What was important for short-term and long-term in a relationship, such as morals, humor, mm-hmm. intelligence, looks, etc. Mm-hmm. What is etc.?
Oh, food.
Food.
Drink, dance, music.
So what were the ones they'd like to share similarities with their romantic partner? Which one of these made made for a good partnership that they wanted to have? So the question was put in both short-term, mm-hmm. like short-term, you meet somebody, what are the areas that you must have that are compatible?
Okay.
And then they said long-term, what are those ones that you see as lasting, as prevailing, as necessary?
Okay.
You know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what do you need to have to mm-hmm. be compatible? So the results of this survey produced 24 as the most important. And within that 24, a smaller group as even more important. But out of the 153, here are the 24. Mm-hmm. That's a general understanding of what compatibility was important. And I think, even though this was done in Italy, I think you're going to see that a lot of these are similar to probably what we feel, wherever we are, whatever country you're in today. Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. How do you like to live? Mm-hmm. You know, do you like to travel the world, not travel the world? Do you eat
live in the mountain or on the beach? Yeah.
What is that general lifestyle?
Opinions. Mm-hmm. What is that?
You don't need to know. I'll have them for you.
Okay, your opinions.
So how? What are your opinions? And I think that could be part of it too. Level of how yeah. opinionated are you? Are you able to have an opinion? Mm-hmm. What are your opinions? And so we'll get into that because there's some of those that they yeah. discuss in a minute. Emotions. Mm-hmm. I found this one important was not just emotions, but it was level of emotions.
Okay.
You know, are you very emotional or you're like, you know, they're very stable emotionally? Neuroticism.
Okay.
Right? I'm going to use that as the emotion. Are you very emotional? Like, do you swing in your emotions? You're sad all of a sudden, happy all of a sudden, or very even tempered? Origins.
Mm.
Your origin story. Were you bitten by a radioactive spider? Now, I think origins is how important is your upbringing, where you came from, that the compatibility, the similarity in origin also was a compatibility piece. Sociality, mm-hmm. how social you were. Do you like to go out and meet people? Do you like to talk to people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you... Stay at home.
Home. Watching TV.
Romanticism. Oh, my love. I love you so much. Or, you got another peanut butter sandwich? Can I have another one? So what is your view of romanticism? I mean, are you somebody who just thinks that... It's like that love language thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you need to do to feel loved? Morals.
That is important.
So... This is kind of interesting, though. Is how would there be people who wanted to be compatible with bad morals? I have bad morals. I want my partner to have bad morals also.
And I guess in one of the shows that we're talking about, you remember the two young kids go to the mall and the one girl stolen the cooking and the boy don't like that because have a level yes. of morals. So. In this way, if you know are part of the stealing a cookie play, you cannot be compatible with somebody.
So, but also morals can also be what you believe is moralistic. Mm-hmm. You know, like somebody might have a differing opinion on alcohol use. Oh no, don't touch this stuff. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. That could be, quote, considered to one person a moral, right? How you treat people. Family. What's the similarity in family? We've discussed that a lot, is that we've had similar family upbringing, even though we're from different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know we're from different cultures?
No, we are the same.
Food. What are the foods you like? What are the foods you dislike? You know, if you like really, really spicy stuff and they like really bland stuff.
You like meat, you like vegetable.
Sure. That would be important, though, right? Yeah. How strong are you in your food beliefs?
Mm-hmm. And that you have to cook double different
Yeah, you have to cook. You have to have separate kitchens for each of the partners. Sensation.
What is that?
Sensation. I guess it is how you feel things. Like if it's hot and cold. Oh, it's too hot for me. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, I don't like how that feels. You know. Oh, you know, this is sandy. I got to put shoes on to walk on. I can't walk barefoot.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that's what that is. Class.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are you in math class? No. The class where you grew up, how you grew up, what level were you in society, what level, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be level, because I don't like level higher, lower. It might be where you were in your quote group and how close you were. If you had similar upbringing, similar neighborhoods.
Habits, for example. Oh, I play golf and the other play basketball.
And so you're saying that could be a habit of that type of group.
Exactly, okay. For level, yeah.
Religion, of course, right? Religion is very big. What you believe, how you're brought up, how does that impact your life? Conformity. How do you conform to rules and regulations? Do you conform to public opinion? Mm-hmm. Do you conform to society? Or are you a rule breaker? That having commonality in that was important. Leisure. What do you like to do when you know, for leisure activity? I like going on cruises. What do you like to do? You go hunting. I know Lizette likes to go hunting all the time. I don't like that because I like to play golf.
Hunting with arrow.
Arrow. Appearance. Is appearance important? Do you need to get dressed up beautifully to go out on a date, on town? Yeah. Are you, you get dressed up when you go out in society, but at home, you don't care. And was just talking to somebody who had that challenge. They said that their partner, who they'd been with for nearly 20 years, who when they first met would really take care of themselves when they went out in public, stopped going out in public as often, and then never took care of themselves even around the house, which would be, you know, sit around in sweatpants, never do their hair, never clean their face, and that became a problem, that they weren't taking care of their appearance. And part of that is self-esteem. Part of that is I don't think they care for themselves anymore.
Yeah.
So appearance. It's not just do they look good, do they not look good, but how they take care of themselves. How about job? Job.
Yeah.
What's your job?
Job is other. Yeah, I see.
It's yes. Not how you go to work, but yeah. How do you look when you go to work?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
Well, all these are all intertwined with each other, of course. But the job is the job you do something. You know, hey, I'm a sales guy. You know, oh, I don't like salespeople. Well, okay, forget it. You know, but we're both accountants. Oh, that's really exciting.
Okay, next.
Sorry to all the accountants out there. Accounting can be very exciting.
Yeah, have a lot of money to account.
Do you know how you hire an accountant?
No, how?
You ask them what 2 + 2 is.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who says, what do you want it to be? That's the one you hire. All right. Conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fight? Do you not fight? Do you like conflict? You know, some people like to argue everything. They're like lawyers. They're, you know, lawyers about everything. You know, hey, you're charging me for this plastic bag. You know, you're a grocery store. You shouldn't do that. Empathy.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about empathy last week.
And that's different from sympathy. Sympathy, you feel sorry, like you feel sorry about them. Like where empathy is, you feel the heartache that they're experiencing. You're bringing on the emotion to yourself. So it's more than just sympathy. Humor.
Mm-hmm.
Good humor. Bad humor. All sorts of humor. So is your humor the same? But it's not just humor. It's the type of humor. Someone might be like, oh, I'm really funny. And they tell all sorts of dirty jokes. And you're like, I like a laugh too, but that's not my style. It's like, you ever see America's Got Talent and there'll be one of the judges, they're like, I didn't find that funny. It's like, and then they find stuff funny that's completely like,
yeah, it's different for everybody. Yeah. And culture too, the humor in different culture.
If you're from Germany or if you're from Italy.
Japan,
or just how you grew up, right?
Yeah.
Residence, where do you live? Where do you live now? Compatibility, I grew up in apartments. You grew up in a manor house with servants. Okay, that doesn't happen
in the jungle.
A jungle.
Yeah.
Did you have a tent?
No.
Not even a tent.
We were living in the tree in
the trees.
Of the tree, yeah.
Hanging by your feet.
Yeah. Backwards.
Backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Speech. How you speak. So do you speak clearly? Do you speak so people can understand you?
You know, understand me by my accent.
Yes,
so
this yes,
is
dear.
The way that
yes,
we
dear.
Are so good.
Intellect.
And also people in the show don't get it, what I say. So that is a
like,
good one.
Who is that person?
Yeah, who is
why are they there?
Mm-hmm. I acting.
Yeah.
This is not my real accent.
Intellect. So that was one I found interesting. We'll get into intellect in a minute. But like to me, I thought intellect was very important. And it could be for initially having conversation and seeing where you fit. It also may have to do with similar intellect means you're maybe in similar backgrounds. You went to the same schools or you have the same degree, the same understanding of different things. And that intellect may be good in establishing a baseline of similarity.
Yeah,
but,
so some kind of topic you can discuss with your partner, but maybe the people don't feel interesting about some topic because don't understand. So.
Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really good. How about you?
Yes!
and last, which to me was one of the important things that we've spoken about a lot of times, is activity. Activity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these are all around other things. Activity is what do you do when you get up and you get out of the house and you do something, and it's a physical activity. What are you like? Are you involved in water skiing, tennis, cooking,
mm-hmm.
bowling, axe throwing?
Got them.
A volunteer fire person.
Yeah.
Right.
Karate.
All those karate. What are the activities you enjoy? What are those hobbies that you enjoy? Those things...
Maybe we see those after these.
After this?
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back right after this with what are the most important of those 24. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
In a minute.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self. No room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about compatibility and how we whittled down this 153 characteristics, how we did it. We didn't do it. The research study did. To 24 compatibility dimensions that were very important in relationships. We're going to now whittle that down further as the study tells us which ones are most important. So, most important characteristics was having similar viewpoints on important issues such as sexism, abortion, the death penalty, and gender roles.
Wow.
So, I found that interesting, and we'll get back to why I find this interesting in a moment, because this is, quote, most important. Most people said this was most important. Later on, they don't mention it in long-term relationship as much as they mention it in short-term relationship. So I think it's that breaking of the ice when you meet somebody. These are things that prevent you from getting to know somebody, is that these things are really irritant issues to people.
Okay.
Generally speaking, participants wanted increased similarity in characteristics for things involved, characteristics important for raising children. So if they were younger, if they were a couple, and they were trying to see what are things that are long-term for us, long-term was similar characteristics for raising children. That was important. So while people in long-term relationships expected similarities in characteristics like lifestyle, morals, and food preference, okay, again, lifestyle, morals, and food preference. So what you eat, how you live, and if you, what are your morals? So it's like a basic, maybe integrity in a way. That similar intellect and appearance was not important for, well, let's reverse that, was important for short-term. So short-term, similar intellect, perhaps the initial conversations, do I feel compatible with them in a battle of intellect? And how did they look? That thus was short-term relationships were more founded on that. The long-term, again, lifestyle, how you like to live, your integrity and morals, and your food preferences, which I thought was very interesting. Maybe that's an activity, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want for food? What do you want to eat? That is something you do. Three times a day. For me, four times a day. My chocolate and peanuts. So, breaking this down, we're going to go into now men and women / male, female type behaviors that, generally speaking, in this survey, and again, it was a survey in Italy, that men preferred partners that shared similar activities and emotions. Long term, that was it. Similar activities and emotions. The male focused type brain is very simple.
Okay.
I want to do things with you, and I want to be on the same emotional level. If I'm mostly calm and I don't like emotions, the more emotional you are, the more I'm going to be like, whoa. Whereas activities were really important. For the females in this study, they were inclined towards partners with similar lifestyles, opinions, morals, levels of conformity, appearance, and empathy. A lot more dimensions, right? So, you may find yourself falling on either side of these, that, you know, I just want someone who can share activities with me, and, you know, we don't have emotional upheaval. And someone else will be, I want this. Maybe 40 items. They may want 40 items in a relationship.
Somebody wrote a book about that. Crazy person.
So, Lizette has 40 items that she wanted in a relationship. More so than this, and it actually worked. Worked out pretty well.
This is 135. Oh, it was so short.
So, the advice we give based upon this is that you're likely to meet similar and compatible people around activities in which you like to participate. For anybody, men, women.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who is doing an activity, whatever it is, whatever your goal, if it's to meet somebody, activity-based meeting is highly recommended, because it especially an activity that you like to do. Not especially, only do activities you like to do. And we'll talk about two examples in a minute here. The benefit long-term is you don't force yourself to do something you don't like just to meet people.
I agree with that.
And this article gives an example of somebody who joins a hiking club just to meet people and then goes on hiking dates with somebody, and the person's like, oh, great, they like to hike, I like to hike, great, we can have a long-term future together. And then the one person said to the other, take a hike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, yeah, because they didn't like hiking. So, for instance, here, let's look at two examples. Kathy doesn't particularly care for exercise, but she joins Planet Fitness in order to meet someone. She goes in there regularly for a little while. She runs into a guy named Jim during her workouts. Jim obviously believes Kathy enjoys working out, or she wouldn't be coming to the gym every week for the last couple of weeks. So Jim invites Kathy to work out together, and they do so for a certain amount of time. He thinks he's found and is excited that he's found a workout partner who's actually quite beautiful, wonderful personality, and has been lying to him for the last number of weeks because she hates going to the gym.
She's just fishing.
Yeah. She was not feeling good about these dates because she was doing something she didn't like. She's unhappy. So is that the beginning of a good relationship?
She need to wait outside the gym with the guy and explain. I don't like gym, but I say I can fishing in the door.
I'm going fishing. Yeah, I don't like gym. I guess we shouldn't have called the guy Jim either.
Exactly.
Well, actually, she didn't like gym. Going to the gym. With Jim. To the gym.
So much gym.
Second, Peter. Peter loves photography. Peter's single and signed up for an advanced photography class. He runs into this person named Chase in the photography class. And they soon realize there may be more to this class than just meeting each other there, and there may be more to their relationship. So they are already up a few rungs on a relationship ladder, right? So they already are doing something that they each enjoy doing with each other. And they as they develop a friendship, as they develop a romantic friendship, they already have something that combines them together. Photography turns into a long-term shared passion that serves them well, even when they go through rough times, because they can build travel around photography. They can create at-home displays, discuss trends and techniques, and grow further in their love of their hobby and each other. You know, and we talk about this all the time, that when we discuss things and learn things, we kind of like build a little bit of each other in our own brains, and we get tied closer together.
Okay.
Oh, and speaking of people doing things that...
Kathy is in the book, by the way.
Kathy's in the book?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a similar situation, but in much more detail in While Victoria Dreams, about how people get in and out of relationships for the right and for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We won't go into detail of that book today, but at some point in the future we may do that. I want to go into this. There's another section here, which is three types of relationships. This was another study that was done, a paper written on what makes a partner ideal. And for whom? What's an ideal partner and for what type of person? And they talk about three different types of partnerships. Actually, there's a lot of stuff discussed in this. It's a really in-depth research article, hugely in-depth. And I've tried to
summarize
it into many things, but here, that the number one thing is that you want super cooperation among partners. Super cooperation. They talk about how when two people get involved into a relationship, there's such thing called a tied up, that you're tied up in this relationship. And they consider a ideal mutual double tie up where a couple is super cooperative. What that means is they're to help each other out in all sorts of situations. And they do it in an altruistic manner, meaning I want to help my wife, Lizette, doing and achieving things just because I want to help her. I'm not doing it because I get something out of it.
Well, I can offer.
And then therefore, in a double tie-up relationship, super cooperative, Lizette also does things for me because she just wants to do them, not expecting anything. And the reason this is important is that it doesn't build, what is that called? Not jealousy, a expectation. Mm-hmm. I did that, now I expect something, I don't get it, now I feel mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah.
The other is the ulterior motive. They talk about how do you get into the relationship is important. So somebody in a, say, a household where there's a lot of stress, they're living at home with their parents, family, and they really just want to get out of that situation, and they see somebody else who's interested in them, and they're like, this is my opportunity to get out of the house, and they just go live with that person in their apartment, and they form a relationship. So that is not an altruistic reason to get into the relationship. The benefit of being in a relationship is I'm escaping from my household.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was another one. It was a convenience. It was a matter of convenience. There's also where they talk about people getting into relationships for social status.
Okay.
You know, I see, Lizette owns her own business and she drives a nice car, and I want to go out to dinner more often, and maybe I can get to meet some of the people that she is friendly with in her company and business. I'm
like,
sorry.
Like did the I just... movie last night, the guy like the woman for money. So it's convenience.
It can be that way. So couples formed for convenience to escape control of their families of origin may be highly cooperative. So I want to cooperate with you and so be highly cooperative, like the super cooperative couple, but they're only being cooperative because they get a benefit from being cooperative. I get to stay out of my household that I grew up in. I get to be with you and enjoy the social status that you have.
I don't have to work more because I live with you.
Exactly.
Something like that.
So I'm going to jump down to the opportunistic couple.
Okay.
Where there's a loveless marriage based upon social benefits for both partners. And I think we see this, I think we do, sometimes with movie stars,
mm-hmm.
where they're both really well known. It's like, well, let's make a decision to stay together. Or politicians. Let's get married. We're both politicians. We can influence each other's circle of friends, or we can be involved in the circle of friends, and you can help me with my career.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps in social positioning. And another one was this opportunistic, was achievement of a state of independence from parents.
Yeah.
So that was one. There was another thing in this study which was done in a discussion. We talked about this a little bit before the show. That couples that were in love relationships, romantic love relationships that started off with like, I met somebody, I'm in love with them, but they were within a culture, religion, family that had a focus on, no, the family decides on who you're going to marry. It's a family and family decision. It's not yours. That even though they may have had super cooperative, I love you, I want to be with you, the stress of having all these external factors on the relationship ruined the relationship. So it can be the opposite. You can be in a culture that the ideal is to have a romantic relationship in a culture, but you can get together for opportunistic and convenience sake. Or maybe you're in the opposite. You're in a culture and a society that says you need to be with someone because of class, because of family, because of arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to get together because of romance or romanticism, romantic, mm-hmm. like we all think. And that can create a lot of stress. So we'll talk more about that, and we'll talk about some tips and some questions that couples can ask each other to get to know a little bit more about each other when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
See you in a minute.
Mm-hmm. tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about lots of things. Right now we're talking about the ideal romantic partnership, the human romantic vision of what a relationship is like, is guided for a search for that ideal partner. A partner that matches the expectations and desires of the person who's searching, as well as provides a perfect and complementary fit. So the ultimate goal is to have somebody that you get along with so well, that you harmonize, that you're able to co-create, that you do things together do things that are impossible to do by yourself, because now you've got a partner that you have the power to create from a standpoint of being able to access much more information, more experience,
also
more
like
knowledge.
The word that you use, the co-create, because it's together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So internally, we're looking for certain personality traits and attachment styles that are inherent to us, right? Because these are intrinsic. In our nature, we have certain personality that we're born with and that we've developed, but it's a pretty stable. Personality's pretty stable. Mm-hmm. It grows a bit, but it's a relatively stable thing. But how we like to attach to the other person, that's something also that's internal, like the love language. I want to be close to my partner. Mm-hmm. And then extrinsic standards are like physical appearance and social status and other things. These are we want harmonization in these things, internal and external. So the emphasis is to be fitting on, the emphasis on predictive value of what learns leads to a long-term relationship. And we talked about this again before, which was evolutionary psychology says, and I'm going to do male, female for the moment here, is that men are looking for women who have reproductive capacity, youth and physically, for men, as like this is like if you're saying biologically in evolutionary biology and psychology, this is what men innately look for, generally speaking. And what women look for is men's acquisitive capacity, the ability to gain wealth, or the woman to gain social economic status from being with the guy. This is traditional, what leads supposedly to a long, stable relationship based upon evolution. For thousands of years, tens years, 20 years. But today it's different. So there's types of these relationships, and we're going to get into the final part here, is that strongly cooperative relationships. There are those who are couples that were founded by intrinsic motivation. Maybe I want to get out of this, and I want to achieve social status, or I want to get out of my house. There are dictated by opportunistic motives, where people want, to be like in politics or actors and actresses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we talked about that. And then we talked about couples that maybe have other types of couples who have abuse psychological problems within that relationship. And these are different relationships that carry on. The challenge with all of this is that although the super cooperative relationship is the idealistic relationship in both the romantic sense, mm-hmm, and the altruistic sense, is that it's limited, the number of couples that actually fit into this, it's narrow. And it may be something we can work towards and build towards, but how do we
know that?
How do we achieve that? Mm-hmm. How do we achieve that? Well, if we haven't met somebody yet, we can achieve that potentially by utilizing this book and actually understanding what you're looking for in a relationship so you can build a super cooperative relationship. The when you are super cooperative, what does it do? When you're faced with a problem and you're super cooperative, you find methods of navigating the problem to find a solution. If you face a problem in a relationship and you've been faking the interest and love, you may, that challenge you face may drive you apart. Remember, we talk about when you get into a relationship to begin with, get into a certain emotional problem. Huh. No. When you're initially in a relationship, get into a problem to see how that person naturally reacts when they're not trying to when they're not trying to fake you. Mm-hmm. And I say fake, they're not really purposely trying to fake you. Some may, but some people are so in love that they're not really
thinking. To show the best face.
Yeah, try to show the best face.
Yeah.
People try to show the best face, and you want to actually see their real face. The best face doesn't necessarily mean their real face. Mm-hmm. Good. I like that.
Yeah.
So, in the end, that a ideal, romantic, super cooperative relationship helps a couple realize this innate ability, this innate natural way of wanting to communicate with the other as you build your life together, and the combined ideal character of our relationship, of a relationship that's super cooperative, is not predetermined. And this is the whole thing that I think I want to bring out, is that this super cooperative relationship, what it's going to become is not predetermined, but it's cooperatively co-created.
Now my English is broken in my mind.
Cooperatively. It's
if
co-created.
If I'm talking weird, it's because my teacher.
It's co-created by the partners.
Okay.
But it's also intrinsic. I think it's like, it's how we would want to have a relationship if we could have a relationship.
Okay.
And that's super cooperative, altruistic, do something for the other person just because you want to do it, you don't get a benefit. The way to do that is to have no barriers in your relationship. Finally, in this segment, does a long-term relationship kill romantic love? Does a long-term relationship kill romantic love?
If you allow.
If you allow, I like that answer. The studies that have been done on this have shown that if you have romantic love without obsession, it allows romantic love to continue. And what I mean by that is sometimes you get into a relationship and you just love the person so much, but you're also super jealous and you obsess about them and you have to be with them. And there's this
asphyxiation.
Yeah. You just can't keep that up. The definition that was written by Hendrick and Hendrick in 1992 define romantic love, eros, romantic love as self-confidence and high self-esteem, which allow an intense, exclusive focus on partner, but not possessiveness or jealousy. I think I liken it to what we talked about before, is doing something, loving your partner without any expectation, completely altruistic, without demanding something
exactly
in return.
No, looking for nothing back.
In comparison to mania as a form of love is obsession, full of insecurity, doubt related to the relationship. It has turbulence, dissatisfaction, all due to, you know, you got to be with them. If they're with somebody else, you're immediately getting jealous. That obsession is not what love is. And the ultimate of love is to be able to just love somebody and be able to co-create together. So a lot of this is common to the beginning of a relationship. If you find that you're at the beginning of the relationship and you have to be with that person, Did you talk about this before? Dependency?
Emotional dependency.
Emotion dependency. I only feel good if I'm with them.
Mm-hmm. And then you don't know, is this real love or is dependency?
Is it real love or dependency? So when we are in this lust stage, and this is the problem with being in lust, is that it can be the beginning of a romantic relationship. It can be the beginning of a eros, real love relationship, romantic love, or it can be the beginning of a obsession manic relationship. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is how that person treats you.
And also how you allow to, because some people leave one toxic relationship, belief is love, it may be dependency. So it's the way how you discover it, you really stay with this person is because love or is because you feel emotional dependent, has to be with somebody, mm-hmm. cannot be alone.
That makes sense. So I want to wrap this up with, if you want to have a couple of things to talk about with your partner that can help you understand each other more, we move into a different article now, mm-hmm. which this is how this actually all started today when we were looking at what we were going to talk about, which is 114 conversation starters for couples, from deep conversation starters to sexy conversation starters. This was written by Kelly Gonzalez, who I believe we've quoted before, but she writes about deep conversation starters for couples, such as, what was your relationship with your parents like? Do you want to be more or less like your parents? Have you ever been in love before? So these are general deep conversation starters. Romantic conversation starters. What initially made you interested in me?
Your car.
How do you know you're in love with me?
Because I don't feel dependency.
Is there anything about our relationship that feels totally unique to us?
Yes.
Okay. We'll stop at yes and no. Sexy. And here are some of the sexy questions to ask your partner. What's your favorite part of my body?
I can measure in the program.
What part of my body do you want to explore more? And what part of your body do you want me to explore more?
Ooh.
So those are some of the sexy questions to ask your partner.
Like explorador.
This sounds like this could be like if you take this article, the 114 conversation starters for couples from deep to sexy, and go to some resort.
Yeah.
And you could spend hours exploring these questions. And by the end of the day, you'd have a much deeper understanding of your partner. Funny conversation starters.
Let me ask to you. Say, what reality show will you be on?
Would it be Modern Family or...
No. Office.
Office. Or 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
What's the worst or weirdest date you've ever been on?
It's in the book.
Actually, there are some good ones in the book.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you while having sex with someone?
Oh, it's in the book.
Questions to get to know your partner better. Do you want to have kids? Why or why not? What kind of parent do you want to be? Well, these are good ones. How do you feel about religion? These are good questions to ask. And these are good questions to get you started on lots of topics that you wouldn't normally have. And then finally, there's the deep conversation starters for couples, which I think is the whole list of questions. But in all, there are 114 questions that, again, cover everything from deep conversation starters to romantic, sexy, funny, and questions to get to know your partner better. We recommend stuff like this. We recommend stuff like that. We recommend the questions and charts and exercises that are in this book, 90 Day Soulmate.
And you can laugh with the story
and
about...
And you can laugh,
with Victoria Dream.
Victoria and Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
In While Victoria Dreams, a romantic comedy about life and love.
Fiction.
Nearly entirely true book. nearly entirely true book,
so while Victoria to the dreams. Reality.
And anyway, thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.